Because that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, February 6th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, a choke job for the ages in the Super Bowl. What the heck is happening with Kentucky basketball? We gloat over hitting all three of our upset specials in college basketball over the weekend. Lane Kiffin up to his old tricks, an anniversary that will make you feel horribly old, and we have an upset special, yet another one, in college basketball tonight. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Super Bowl 51. With 4 minutes left in the game, the Atlanta Falcons were winning 28-3, and basically all they had to do was run the football a few times, and the game was over. What happened? Soon-to-be former offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan only ran five times the rest of the game. The rest of them were passes, and the Falcons somehow let the Patriots come back and win the Super Bowl, pissing off the entire city of Atlanta and everyone associated with the Democratic Party. As someone who lived in Atlanta for over 20 years, as someone who still owns my home in Atlanta, although I'm living in Kentucky now, this truly hit home with me. You're talking to someone who has seen this all play out before, not just for the Atlanta Falcons, but for the city of Atlanta. Those 90s teams of the Atlanta Braves, who had not one, not two, but three starting pitchers who would eventually become Hall of Famers, two of them on their first ballot, and they could only win the World Series once, and you could argue that didn't really truly count because that was in 1995, a strike-shortened 144-game season. But when you're leading a game 28-3, late in the third quarter, and all these stat nerds who come out with the win probability percentages, which is something we often refer to on this show, they all come out and say, well, the Falcons have a 99-plus percent chance of winning this game, and then they don't win this game. It makes the stat geeks look like idiots. But in reality, Kyle Shanahan was the idiot. And just as a lark, just to kind of get a feel for how Atlanta was feeling this morning, I tuned in to my old station down in Atlanta just to listen to the callers, just to get a pulse, an idea, put my finger on the pulse of what was going on in Atlanta this morning. And callers into the radio shows were given free rein. Say whatever you want to say. I heard things like Kyle Shanahan is Judas. I heard one person literally in tears on the phone. I heard another person say they were literally looking to move out of the city based on the fact that their football team had lost the Super Bowl. Wow, you're moving from Atlanta because the Falcons lost the Super Bowl. Maybe I'm missing something in life, but I don't think that's the way you should make decisions. Call that a little irrational, if you ask me. But you talk about bad sports cities. Cleveland gets a bad run as being a sports city. They finally won one with the Cavs. Chicago had bad luck forever. They finally got one with the Cubs. Who can compare to Atlanta at this point? They can't win in any of the three major professional sports. And the fourth professional sport, hockey, they've had not one, but two teams leave town. But I digress. It's a sad day for Atlantans all over the nation. But the real story here, of course, other than the fact that the Falcons gave the game to the Patriots. People could say that it was a great comeback and all you want. The Falcons gave that game to the Patriots somehow, some way. After that Julio Jones acrobatic catch with about 3 minutes to go, all the Falcons had to do was run it three times, kick a field goal, and the game was over. Instead, they tried to pass it three times. They lost 23 yards in the process, so no field goal, and the Patriots get the ball back. And of course, by that point, we all knew what was going to happen. Patriots score, overtime, Patriots score, Super Bowl over. And it's tough to win in today's NFL if you're Matt Ryan and you still only attempt 23 passes, even though your team still didn't run the ball but five times the last 20 minutes of the game. I still remember the 1992 Houston Oilers, and they lost that game at Buffalo in the playoffs. They lost that game at Buffalo in the playoffs when they were up 35-3, and they never recovered from that. Within 2 years, the entire team was gutted, and within 3 years, they were leaving town for Tennessee. The Falcons, under this regime, under this coaching staff, and Matt Ryan and these players, they'll never get over this. They'll never make this again. You know why? Because history and human psychology tells us they won't. But enough Atlanta bashing and enough Falcons bashing for one day. It was great to see Donald Trump so happy because he being the obvious Patriots fan that he is, pissing off all the Democrats royally. All the Democrats were at least rooting for Atlanta. There's a shocker. And when that score was 28-3, did you happen to be on social media and see all these experts and all these pundits digging the grave for Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots? Everybody who was on Twitter was making jokes about the Patriots, how it was over, how they didn't look ready to play, and all these other cliches. And of course, they're all proven wrong, but who cares? We judge the result. But the result of this game means a few things. It means Tom Brady is the best quarterback in the history of the NFL. There's no argument now against that. Because by the time he retires, he's probably going to have all the passing numbers records in terms of touchdowns and yardage. And he's obviously going to have more Super Bowls now that he has five. Nobody's ever going to catch that in our lifetimes, probably. So now, what else does he have to prove? And he is considered such a god right now that for the second time in 3 years, someone stole his jersey right after the Super Bowl. And there's a video online of people looking around for his jersey. Where did he put his jersey? There's about 10 people looking for it. I guarantee you one of those 10 people stole that jersey from him. Oh, I don't know where it's at. Look for it on eBay within 12 hours. Highlight of the night? Obviously, Roger Goodell having to give that trophy to Patriots owner Robert Kraft, who gave the ultimate comeback when Goodell couldn't even hear it because he was sprinting for the exits. As soon as Goodell gave that trophy to Kraft, he was gone. He was out of that stadium within 5 minutes. And he should be. And if you watch that ceremony, it's almost like 90s wrestling when the NWO would come out and they would pipe in the boos over your television. That's exactly what it sounded like last night. It was like Fox piped in the boos for Roger Goodell. How did Brady know he was going to win? There's already a commercial running about him looking for security at a place to keep his fifth Super Bowl ring. Amazing how that works, huh? But is it all perfect and it's all just a gift from God for Tom Brady in his life? People seem to forget the glorious supermodel Gisele Bündchen. Is it Tom Brady's first love? His first, that we know of anyway, was Bridget Moynihan. And you probably know her from the show Blue Bloods, as well as some other stuff. Well, while Miss Moynihan was pregnant, Tom Brady left her for Gisele Bündchen. Now, some people would say, well, that's a trade-up. The girl was pregnant and you left her. So is Tom Brady Mr. Perfect? Maybe, maybe not. That game was getting so far out of hand, even Mark Wahlberg left that stadium before the game ended. And he's Mr. Boston himself. And of course, as a country, who do we care about more? The football game or Lady Gaga halftime? Absolutely. Lady Gaga halftime. That got a 50 rating while the game got a 48 rating. People are comparing Lady Gaga's performance to Prince's performance. Sorry, dude. Prince literally did it in the rain. Prince number one, everybody else line up behind him. So congratulations, I guess, to the Patriots, who got a miracle Justin Edelman catch. Tom Brady should not have been MVP. James White, who scored the final touchdown and had 14 receptions, he should have been the MVP. But oh, we can't do anything against Tom Brady. That's the world we live in, folks. So for the Patriots, why do we do this all over again next year? Because they're already the favorites in Las Vegas to win Super Bowl 52, if you can think that far ahead. And as for the Falcons, who did not cover the spread, although being a 3-point underdog, meaning you were up by 28 points at one time late in the fourth quarter, and you still lost your money. As for the Falcons and the city of Atlanta, pitchers and catchers report next week.
Now, I see some elements of Red Rover with a little bit of Spud mixed in. And is anyone ever going to blow a raspberry on the quarterback's belly?
No, Stewie, that never happens.
Down goes Brady. And it looks like Williams is pulling up his shirt and having a little fun with his tummy.
No, he's doing it.
The NFL Hall of Fame announced their newest members that will be inducted this summer. Terrell Davis. Didn't play very long, did he? LaDainian Tomlinson. Deserving. Jason Taylor. Deserving. Kurt Warner. I guess he's deserving. Morton Anderson, a kicker. He made it? I get that he scored more points than anyone in NFL history, but he's a kicker. Oh, well, they let in Ray Guy a couple of years ago. I guess we have to be nice to kickers and punters now. But of course, the real crime here, Terrell Owens, T.O. himself, the man who has the second most receiving yards in the history of the NFL, the man who has the third most receiving touchdowns in the history of the NFL, continues to get passed over for the Hall of Fame. And of course, the NFL Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame, always claims that they're so much different and so much better than the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame because they don't take off-field transgressions into their voting. I mean, heck, Lawrence Taylor got in on his first try. If they let him in, they'll let anybody in. Look at his history. So why is T.O. not in the Hall of Fame? It's certainly not for anything he did or did not do on the field. Is it just because he's a jerk? It has to be. So much for the Pro Football Hall of Fame being the same and being fair to everyone. Lawrence Taylor, you can commit rape to an underage girl. It's okay. So if you're Lawrence Taylor, it's okay to be charged with statutory rape and for engaging in sexual intercourse with someone under the age of 17 and paying that girl $300 to have sex with him and only getting 6 years probation as part of a plea deal. And oh, by the way, Lawrence Taylor has to register as a low-risk level 1 sex offender. He got in the Hall of Fame on his first try. What did T.O. do? T.O. ate popcorn, had a failed reality show, did sit-ups in his driveway, but T.O. gets kept out for being a jerk, and LT gets in no problem first try? Ridiculous. So here's what it is. It's all about who you are in life, like we always say. Terrell Davis, Kurt Warner, questionable Hall of Fame careers, but they're in the media, and they kiss the media's butt. So what happens? They get in on their first try. T.O., he's standoffish toward everybody, so he can't get in the Hall of Fame. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, we're on to Cincinnati.
So do you think, you mentioned Tom's age at the draft.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Well, do you think having a 37-year-old?
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now, we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Okay, do you feel like the talent you have here is good?
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
What is your I'm
just asking, do you think you've done enough to help Tom Brady?
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
College basketball. Now that the NFL is finally over, people take a few weeks off, and then they pay attention to college basketball. Hey, those brackets are coming out soon. I got to gamble. Saturday night, Kentucky loses to Florida 88-66. A total stinker of a game. Plenty of stinkers on the court for Kentucky. The worst big, Dominique Hawkins. 4 points, 0 of 4 field goals, 3 turnovers. And he started the game. Wenyen Gabriel played 13 minutes of the game. He was the best player for Kentucky. He only had 5 points and 3 rebounds because he fouled out of the game. Florida, as we predicted on this show, was in the much better spot. And right now, you could argue, they're the much better team. The minimum win percentage Florida had in this game, if you go by win probabilities, which as we know from the Super Bowl, doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot, but still, their minimum win probability was 56.4%, and that was when they were up 5-4, 2.5 minutes into the game. After the game, of course, John Calipari says, maybe we've hit rock bottom, and maybe we haven't. Boy, that must make you feel great, huh? According to the CBS bracketology that came out Monday morning, Kentucky's a 4 seed right now, and if the SEC tournament started today, they'd be a 3 seed. So what has really happened to this team? Seriously. A couple of weeks ago, this team was still the favorite in Las Vegas to win the national championship. Well, if you read CoachCal.com, and who doesn't for situations like these, there's the reasoning that they'll give you. It's a long season, difficulty shooting on the road, and continuity is on the horizon. Really? That's the stuff you're going to spin on CoachCal.com? No wonder I don't go to that website unless I need material for this show to make fun of. But I will say something. They might have something in this road shooting stuff. Since the start of SEC play last year, Kentucky is 7-7 in true road games. And the worst thing that people are taking from this game, everybody saw Malik Monk laughing on the bench late in the game when they were down 20 plus points, and that's what everybody's going with. Why is he laughing when you're losing by 20? The Herald later says it's time for Calipari to solve the puzzle. Oh, gee, thanks. That's another riveting column. Why aren't more people talking about Calipari right now and not these kids? Calipari had a book tour. He does a podcast now every week. And by the way, since he had Rick Pitino on his podcast, he's 2-3. Oh, and I saw the commercial for his new ESPN 30 for 30 documentary coming out in a few weeks. You don't think he's had his hand in some other cookie jars other than just Kentucky basketball on the court? This team's got 8 games left. Their 4 road games are against Alabama, Georgia, Missouri, and Texas A&M. You think they go through all 4 of those undefeated? I don't think so either. And oh, by the way, Florida comes to Kentucky later in the season, and so does Tennessee. They've already lost to those 2 teams, but they'll take them down at home. If you ask me right now, Kentucky probably wins 7 of the last 8 games of the regular season, goes into the SEC tournament as either a 1 or a 2 seed, and all is forgiven by Big Blue Nation. Then again, after tomorrow's scrimmage against LSU, which we'll talk about on tomorrow's show, which we shouldn't have to waste our time because LSU is so horrible right now, they go to Alabama on Saturday. That will be a very interesting game.
All right, a white guy just faked out another white guy and then took a shot at the top of the key that didn't go in. Is this like a charity game? I've never seen so many white guys out on a court in basketball. This should be in like black and white. You know, with them dribbling with their hand on top of the ball.
The people at Sports Media Watch are starting to float a conspiracy theory that Kentucky will get a favorable seeding in the NCAA tournament, even though right now they're struggling as a projected number 4 seed. Why is that? 3 of the top 4 viewed college basketball games on television this year involve Kentucky, and 4 of the 8 top viewed games involve Kentucky. Then again, the same thing happened last year, sportsmediawatch.com. And Kentucky got literally screwed in the seeding process last year, while Texas A&M got the spot that Kentucky should have had, forcing Kentucky to play Indiana in the second round. And all Texas A&M had to do to get to the Sweet 16 was defeat Northern Iowa. And you talk about a choke job. That was a Northern Iowa choke job for the ages. Go YouTube that one, ladies and gentlemen. They were up 13 with 40 seconds to go. Never seen anything like it. I digress. So yeah, these Kentucky conspiracy theories, let's see what happens first, because last year, the same things were going on, and they did not get any help whatsoever from the tournament committee.
Okay, guys, I got a secret player I've been saving for the Olympics, or possibly the Final 4.
Other college basketball. Gonzaga is still number 1 in the country. Why? They don't play anybody. Let me tell you their last 6 games remaining. Loyola Marymount. Bo Kimble ain't walking through that door. St. Mary's. Now there's the only chance they have to potentially lose. San Francisco, Pacific, San Diego, and BYU. And Jimmer Fredette ain't walking through that door either. So to say Gonzaga might go through the entire season undefeated and get the number 1 overall seed in the tournament, it's starting to become more of a possibility every day. And if you see Saturday's game against St. Mary's coming up, if they get through that one, they're home free. And personally, I hope they do. You know why? It'll be so much easier to go against them in your bracket pool and watch other people cry when they can't even get out of the Sweet 16.
From the corner, and it's over! Gonzaga, the slipper still fits! They win it! Holy cow!
If you listen to our upset specials, you're probably listening to this podcast over your new yacht that you bought over the weekend, because we picked not 1, not 2, but 3 upset specials out of 3 for Saturday, including Oregon's rout over Arizona and Purdue escaping Maryland with a win.
We're not the kind of guys that say, we told you so, but we told you so.
It was so great to see Coach K come back for Duke against lowly little Pittsburgh. I have found the new scout, LeBissiere, and his name is Marquise Bolden, the guy that Kentucky tried to recruit late in the recruiting process last spring, who eventually went to Duke. He's still considered a first-round draft pick in all these draft nicks, pundits, and whatever. But he got 1 minute of playing time against Pittsburgh on Saturday. And it's not because he's hurt. He's ready to play. They just are better without him. kind of like Kentucky was without Scal last year. So I found the new Scal. His name is Marquise Bolden.
Larry Johnson brings the ball up. Looks like he wants to go all the way with it. He's outside now, stopping his dribble. Leitner on him. Hunt will have to do something.
Look at three.
Three. Off the back.
Tap it long.
Hurley's got it. Duke has done it. Duke has upset UNLV.
You want to lose money quick? Start betting on Big 12 favorites. Top 10 teams, Kansas, Baylor, West Virginia, all of them were favored big at home over the weekend. All of them lost straight up as home favorites. The numbers say the Big 12 is the best conference in America, and it's not even close, and we can't disagree with that.
Still plenty of time for Kansas.
No! And Bucknell has pulled the upset.
How do you know your life sucks? When you're St. Bonaventure, you're 14-7, 6-3 in your conference, and you've got a home game against Virginia Commonwealth, the big boy of the league, who came in at 17-5, 7-2 in your conference. You've got the game won. Here come the fans onto the court. All of a sudden, the refs say, hey, the game's not over yet, but we've got all these fans on the court. Technical foul. Step up and shoot a technical free throw. VCU ties it. And then in overtime, VCU wins it. And St. Bonaventure drops further down the list, and VCU continues their trek to the NCAA tournament. So way to go, St. Bonaventure. The fans lost that game for you against VCU the other day. Unbelievable. What if that happened to Kentucky? Wait. There's no danger of that happening at Kentucky because everybody that sits close to the floor is an average age of deceased. So they have no intentions whatsoever of getting onto the floor and running around with their arms waving in the air. Because Aunt Myrtle has already sent Uncle Jesse out to the car midway through the second half, so it won't be so cold when they get outside, when they leave with 5 minutes to go in a tie ball game. I digress.
In a stunner, the Rams of Virginia Commonwealth have made it to the final four, knocking off the number one seed, the Jayhawks of Kansas.
In other news, Lane Kiffin. It's been, what, a few days since we've heard from him, right? So he's got to be in the news. And he's all over Boca Raton, Florida. Why? No, he's not out recruiting. No, he's not out trying to get more players. He's apparently at every nightclub in Boca Raton, Florida. And he's willing to take pictures with all the girls that go into the bars. It's hard to imagine how Lane Kiffin had to divorce his smoking hot wife while he was in Alabama, because he used to go out to the clubs in Alabama and say his name was Joey Freshwater. And if you don't believe me, Google it. Something tells me the chicks in Boca Raton aren't as easily fooled as the chicks in Tuscaloosa. But still, if you're a lady out there in Florida and somebody comes up to you saying he's Joey Freshwater, you might want to look out. Because according to social media, he is clubbing every night in Boca Raton.
We're back again with Triple K. You'll notice a little addition to the trophy case this time. Also, thanks to my lovely, now ex-wife, for being here and letting me use my old phone. Let's take some calls.
Hey, Coach, it's Sarah from the bar, and then the back of that Uber, and then the cot in your office last night. Anyway, you left one of your advisors at my place, and you still owe me for your half of the morning after pill.
Sorry about that, guys. Next caller.
One of the worst sports movies of all time is Rudy. Now, a lot of people don't agree with that assessment, but I can't stand that movie. But how much of a clinger is this guy? Rudy, the real Rudy, just sold his old Notre Dame football helmet for $241,000. So whatever money he made off that movie, he's probably already gone through it since it's a 25-year-old movie now. So he needed some more money to do whatever it is Rudy does these days. I'm sure it's very little. But who in their right mind would pay $241,000 for Rudy's Notre Dame football helmet? That's why society sucks. Yeah, life is fair.
Yes, Indiana's favorite, Bobby. I'm not so sure about that, but nonetheless, Bobby Heenan will be a part of the record-breaking crowd set at the Indianapolis Hoosier Dome for WrestleMania.
I'm Indiana's favorite, Bobby.
I thought Bobby Knight was.
Bobby Knight is definitely Indiana's.
Who? Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight, basketball fame, Bobby Knight.
Coach. Oh, is that Gladys Knight's brother?
You want to feel old? 29 years ago today, Michael Jordan faced off against Dominique Wilkins in the slam dunk contest in one of the biggest ripoffs ever. If you go back and watch it, and anybody at the time who watched it, almost are all in agreement that Dominique Wilkins was the better dunker than Michael Jordan was. The only advantage Michael Jordan had is that he was in Chicago, his hometown, and he copied the old Dr. J take off from the free throw line bit. Dominique, nobody got screwed over in dunk contests more than Dominique. He lost to Spud Webb. What a joke. And he lost to Michael Jordan when he was better than Michael Jordan. Another joke. But if you want to feel old, go back and watch that. I still remember it. I still remember watching it live. That's how sad I am.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash. Cold. That's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it's Mac Daddy Stogie time. And as always, you can follow along with our picks on our website, bottomlinelexington.podbean.com. And as you know, because, well, we're going to keep telling you until you listen, our picks are on fire. Our underdogs against the spread this year, 19-9, 67.9%. And our upset specials, 15-8, 65.2%. If you're listening to us, you are making some cash. That's the bottom line. All of our picks documented on this podcast and on our website. And tonight we have Louisville against Virginia. Now, the new AP poll is not out yet. The old poll has Louisville ranked number 6 and Virginia number 9. Virginia lost over the weekend, so they'll probably drop a little bit. And Louisville won over the weekend, and in fact, they won their last 3 games by 55, 25, and 23 points. So they're going to go up in the rankings. So Louisville and Virginia tonight. Earlier this year, on December 28th, they played, and Virginia won that game 61-53. But Louisville, as good as anyone in the nation this year against the spread out in Vegas. 15-5 against the number. That's very impressive. Virginia, not that bad themselves. 13-7 against the number. Both these teams in the ACC, 7 wins, 3 losses. And both these teams, very, very highly regarded among the sabermetric community. Ken Pomeroy has Louisville number 2, Virginia number 3. You can flip those for ESPN's BPI. Louisville number 3, Virginia number 2. Jeff Sagarin has Louisville 3rd, Virginia 7th. So in terms of looking for teams in your bracket in March, these are two that you have to seriously consider taking at least to the Elite Eight, if not further. And I know a lot of you don't want to take Louisville to win the national championship or to make the Final Four, but hey, those bracket dollars mean more than being a fan any day of the week. Take emotion out of every decision. But tonight, don't have to worry about it. Virginia at home, lower ranked against Louisville, who will probably be ranked 3rd by the time you hear this, and Virginia, who will probably be out of the top 10 by the time you hear this. Virginia will take down Louisville tonight. Give us Virginia, the home team, taking down Louisville tonight. Big. Give us the Cavaliers of Virginia in a game where the first one to 60 most likely takes this one out. Virginia over Louisville. Your upset special of the night. And you can take that to the desert and smoke it.
But let me be honest with you right now. I don't care who anybody likes in this game. I could care less. This is one of the greatest bets I will ever make in my life. I own this game. You know what that means? It's in my hand. I put it in my pocket. I know the score.
And that does it for the Monday, February 6th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And make sure to like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.